had a bit of a format issue back there, so I was inspecting some of the slides. One of the interesting things that we do here at Woodland Oaks is we record these sessions, and they are available on the website, so you can go click and listen to the audio. And I did that last night just as a matter of critique and realized that there were some changes that I needed to make, some adjustments I needed to make. So we're working on those, and I'd ask that you bear with me. But if you have a chance, go check out the lessons. It picks up everything that's mic'd. So my comments, the individuals who read or lead in prayer are recorded, as well as some comments, not all the comments got on. Anyway, hopefully you had an opportunity to read and look at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8 last week. That was our text last week, and I ask that you consider that and contemplate on it a little bit this week. If you had the opportunity, great. Today we're going to be talking about growing in faithfulness. Last week, we talked about the vine. I am the vine, or Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I remain in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, as it relates to growing spiritually, it's a metaphor. Jesus is alive, and his church is growing, and we're to be growing. He's the vine, and we're the branches. So we're to produce growth. And we learned that the Father works in this process. It's a cooperative process where the Father is involved, and he's like the master gardener. He's pruning us. He's cutting off the dead branches, cleaning up the vine. So he's very involved in our spiritual growth. God uses his word, his spirit, and the circumstances of our life to help us to grow. He allows us to experience events. Some of them are easy. Some of them are good. Some of them are very, very difficult. Ken gave us a great lesson this morning. It was very tightly connected as he talked about Jesus and the Good Shepherd and the things that are out there in the world. And we're going to spend a whole class talking about not loving the world and how important that is for our spiritual growth. We must remain in Christ in order to grow. Our lives are to be fruitful, just like the vine is fruitful. And if you remain in him, he makes some promises. You will bear much fruit. He will give you what you ask for. You will glorify God, and you will show that you are his disciples. This came up last week. And this is just introduction. I'm just kind of going over a few things before we get started, give people a chance to get settled with their donuts and coffee. We talked a little bit about what we think about. Spiritual growth is not automatic. We have choices to make, and it's important that we start with our thoughts, that we think about the right things. That's an important part of our change process. And this is a transformation process. We're to be engaged in it. Doesn't matter how mature you are in Christ, you are not complete. We have an obligation to grow spiritually, and that means we're still involved in this transformation process. Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We talked about Philippians 4:8. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So this change process begins with our thoughts. What you think influences what you feel, and what you feel influences your behavior. So choose your thoughts very carefully. Spend time considering what you think about, and to be deliberate about it. This week, today's text, we're going to talk about adding to our faith, growing in faithfulness. And there are things we need to be doing in order to cause that growth to happen. We're going to make every effort to add to our faith. We're going to talk about our motivation. We're going to talk about the effort, We're going to talk about the adding. We're going to talk about the fact you cannot be stationary. In addition, we want to remember that we can't forget the cross, because that's where our true inspiration lies. How you led a beautiful prayer this morning, and I want to mention it, because your comments pointed exactly to that. We have to remember Jesus, and we have to remember what he did for us. That is our ultimate motivation to grow spiritually. Now then, I've asked David to lead us in a word of prayer now before we get started. David?
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Father, we give you all glory and praise. Father, we ask you to open our minds that we can learn today. We can learn what you would have us study, Father, and what we need to apply to our lives. We ask you to help us do so. Father, we ask you to be with John, that he can remember what he studied in a way that is comfortable for him to present to us, in a way that we will remember ourselves, Father. Not only that we remember, Father, that we can share it with others. Father, we ask you to be with our sick, those on the road, and those who are traveling, that they all have safe trips. Be with Ken and Janice as they go back to Arkansas, Father, for the funeral of their friend. Be with their friend's family, Father, that they can be comforted. Be with the sick, Father, that are here. Ask you to be with the caretakers of them, that they can make them comfortable and make them well. Father, we thank you again for your word. We ask you to be with us, Father, as a congregation, that we can study it and be the people that we need to be, that you expect us to be. Father, we pray these things in your Son's most holy name. Amen.
Thank you. You know, as I got started this morning, I realized it's probably a good morning to be sitting on the pew. It was an extra early start this morning. I know all of you were struggling with that as well. After you is Burrite. After Burrite is Zane. Y'all are all in the same proximity. Can you handle that for me? And you're up, Gary. Yeah. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. If you would read that for us, please.
Second Peter 1, 3 through 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for the life and the godliness through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and the goodness Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires.
Thanks. All right. So now you got to wake up. What has the Lord given you for life and godliness? Verse 3. This is where y'all participate. You know, I said it would be a good day to be on the pew. Maybe we won't ask any questions, but I don't think so.
Everything we need.
That's right. Everything we need. Specifically, God has given us his knowledge of Christ, who called us. He's also provided these great promises that he's made available to us through the Word. So he's given us everything we need. You believe that? It's very simple stuff. I told y'all last week that I'm reminded every time I studied how incredibly simple this message is, growing spiritually. Yet, I was talking to Tyrone on Wednesday night, and he pointed out, if you read just a little further, I think verses 12-13, Peter says, I'm going to remind you as often as I think about it. I'm going to constantly remind you about these things, these graces, and what we need to be doing to add to our faith in order to grow in Christ and grow spiritually. We can have a life that is both productive and fruitful. He's going to tell us that very literally as we move forward. What does it mean to participate in the divine nature? This one's a little harder. Verse 4. What does it mean to participate in the divine nature? I got all morning. What do you think? Yeah?
Is it when we internalize God and His Son, when we actually internalize it, we are participating in the divine nature? I don't mean superficially. I mean it actually.
We're working on that transformation. You're exactly right. We're changing ourselves as we grow spiritually to become more like Jesus. That's what we're talking about. To grow to become more like Jesus. He goes on to say that our knowledge of Christ is what enables us to escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's a necessary piece to our spiritual growth because we're going to be confronted with all kinds of distractions in our life. We're going to face all kinds of different circumstances that will take our focus away. Exactly what Ken was telling us. We need to remain focused. You haven't heard the lesson from this morning. If you're going to be in the second service, it's really good and it's very relative. I got lots of hands here. Yes. This is a very good point. The dove is a universal symbol for what?
Peace.
And that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Peace. We all need that. We need God's peace. And He's promised us that in different ways, in multiple places. Yeah, Glenn?
He's given us His Holy Spirit.
That's right. And, I mean, that's what we talked about last week. But it's real important for us to allow the Spirit to fill us up. I mean, we have to make that choice. The Spirit was a free gift. We've got it. Now, what are we going to do with it? We need to allow the Spirit to fill up our lives. Good points. In God's Word, we find promises that are our motivation. Okay? We want to talk about what motivates us to grow spiritually. So what promises in God's Word motivate you? Are there any specific ones that come to mind? I've already talked about several.
John 1, that affects me, I guess, more than any of the others, is that He promises He won't give us more than we can handle. But sometimes, you know, life throws us curves and we think that we can't handle it. But if we turn it over to Him, we can.
Okay? He won't give us more than we can handle. Yeah, Glenn.
Well, it's not so much a promise, but we're reminded in James of how short our life is, which should daily keep us reminded that we're just passing through this life so quickly, and it's the importance is to focus on the eternity. But an instant later.
Okay, those are good. Let me give you a hint. I mean, y'all are knocking on it. We're going to get to it here later in this study, verses 10 and 11. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom. Okay? That's a clear promise. Let me give you, you know, if you want to flip over to Philippians has a couple of them. We talked about them. We talked all around them already. Philippians 4, I think about 7, 6 and 7. He says if you know, to cast all your anxieties on God, to petition Him with prayers and supplications of all kind. And if you do these things, the peace of God will be with you. So if you pray, God's going to give you His peace. And why is He going to give it to you? To protect your heart. To protect your heart. If you go down just a little further in Philippians, I'll get to you in just a second. If we go down just a little bit further in Philippians, He tells us to think about certain things. And if you do what He tells you, and you put those things into practice, the peace of God, or God of peace, will be with you. God will be with you. So those are the kind of promises I'm talking about, and God's Word is just full of them. You've got to learn to recognize these promises. We sing a song, Standing on the Promises of God. Do you know those promises? It's real important if you're going to grow spiritually that you recognize those promises and you begin to rely on those promises. Yeah, Terry. That's great. Promise of eternal life. And that's what we're talking about, and we'll spend some more time on in this lesson, is that Christ died for you and me. No greater friend could anybody have than for that friend to lay his life down for you. Okay? And He did that so that we have the opportunity of eternal life. Next section. Bob, you got that?
Yes, sir.
Could you read, please?
Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins.
There's a lot in this. I think in my life, too often, I just look at these building blocks, these virtues, these graces that we're supposed to add to our life. But this is a very rich passage. It's got a lot more to it. We want to take just a moment and look at some of that stuff. The person who wants to excel, and it doesn't matter whether you're in school or whether you're involved in a profession or whether you're an athlete, or whether you want to learn music, no matter what it is, if you want to excel, it requires effort. Nothing is achieved without effort. And the same is true with our spiritual life. You've got to make an effort to grow spiritually. It's not just going to happen. You have to make that decision. It's a choice. And then you need to plan in order to accomplish that. Spiritual growth does not happen without God being involved in your life. And the way you involve Him in your life is through His Word and through His Spirit. And I want to remind you that there are circumstances that are going to happen to us. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're not so good. Sometimes they're really hard. God is the master gardener. He's involved in our life, and He's going to prune. Or at least should be our attitude, is that He's going to prune in order to promote more growth. Help us grow spiritually. To what reason is Peter referring to in verse 5? He says, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith." So, scripturally, what's he referring to? What is the reason we are to make every effort to add these graces to our faith? Got any ideas? Look at verses 3 and 4. Exactly. That's one of them. And I personally think that's one of the more important ones, but there's a whole bunch of stuff there. What else does he say? And if you didn't hear Marcia, she said, so that the corruption of the world doesn't become a distraction to us. She was referring to the last part of verse 4. What else is in there?
Afterwards, in verse 10 and 11, it says, "Say you won't fall, and then you will receive the rich welcome into the kingdom."
Yeah. I got to go all the way back to verses 3 and 4.
John, I think probably one of the first questions you asked, if I'm going with those verses 3 and 4 talking about, that we are escaping this world and becoming more like Christ, being transformed. I think that's the general gist of putting that together.
Exactly. So that you can participate in that divine nature through that transformation. Remember, no one's complete. It doesn't matter how long you've been in Christ. You're not complete. So we're still, we have an obligation to continue with that transformation. There was a lot of stuff that was mentioned. If you look all the way back, because of what He has given us, because He called us, because He has given us His great and precious promises. And then we mentioned the other two, which immediately proceeded, and I would interpret to be the reason, so that we may participate in the divine nature and so that we may escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Add to your faith. Make every effort to add to your faith. Now, we're going to come back and we're going to study some of these specifically. These are fruit of the Spirit. But I want to talk a little bit about what I think is meant by some of these. And, you know, you say goodness, I think we all understand goodness, but I think it's important to read something that's written that describes it and defines it. The quality of being good, having praiseworthy character or moral excellence. Goodness. Knowledge. The truth or facts of life that a person acquires either through experience or thought. The greatest truth is that about God. Self-control. Control of one's actions or emotions by will. It's the opposite of rage, hatred, anger, verbal abuse, and the like. To command your personality to respond in goodness, in every situation, is our objective. Perseverance, faithful to the end, single-minded, steadfast effort to follow God's commands and to do His will. These are spiritual definitions. You know, there's a lot of these words we use in the world, and we tend to have a greater familiarity with it as it applies to events and circumstances in our lives in the world. But these terms are also spiritual. Godliness includes godly qualities, piety or reverence toward God. Brotherly kindness, having a love for all people. The love of fellow Christians for one another. And then love, that is a sacrificial love. That's agape love. Brotherly kindness would be phileo, or brotherly love. But love that is sacrificial love, and ultimately it is our birthmark. Okay, it's what defines us as disciples of Christ, as Christians. It's what the world is looking for. It's what they will see if we are adding these things to our lives. You are to add these seven graces to your faith. How are you going to do that? It's not a hard question. What do you think? You got to practice them. Exactly. Joni's right. You got to practice this stuff. Be deliberate about it. What else? You have to want to. That gets back to the choices, right? We got to choose to get into God's Word. We got to choose to understand what He's trying to tell us. We need to study. We also have to choose to allow the Spirit to fill up our lives. What else? You know, for years, as a manager, people come to me and they want to do this and they want to do that. oh, I got a great idea. I want to do it. And I said, well, what's your plan? And they look at me like, well, what are you talking about? Well, what's your plan? You know, and I explained to them, we don't do anything without a plan, right? Some of you guys that are in business know exactly what I'm talking about. You got to have a plan. It's no different about growing spiritually. Yeah. Pray. Prayer's got to be part of that plan, doesn't it? A couple of them I've already reminded you is remain in Christ. Abide in Him, and He will abide in you. Choose to use the tools He's provided. We've talked about the Spirit. We've talked about His promises. But I would encourage you to be more deliberate. And here's where some of the things we've just thrown out come into play. Effort. Set a schedule. Be deliberate about that. Set aside some time and be jealous about that time. Try and protect it if you can. Study. Know what God's Word tells us about these graces, these virtues. Prayer. It's got to be part of the plan. Practice. Try to do them. I mean, set out with a mission. I am going to be more loving. We're going to devote an entire lesson on just how to be more loving. That's not one of my strengths. Maybe it's not one of yours. I'm fortunate that I'm around some folks that are very loving, and they influence me, and I allow them to influence me. But you can practice this stuff. You can be very deliberate about it. Can you be stationary in your use of these virtues? Status quo. Middle of the fence. Ken's shaking his head no. I got a few others shaking their head no. You agree? You can't be stationary. You're either progressing or you're regressing. What does verse 8 tell us? There's a real important little phrase in there. He says, you to add these things in increasing measure, right? That means they've got to be growing, and they've got to be evident to other people that you're adding these things into your life through some sort of effort, through some sort of a plan. We are to have these seven characteristics in increasing measure. We cooperate with God as He works in our life. We talked about Philippians 2, 12 through 13. By adding these seven virtues to our faith and doing so in increasing measure brings astonishing results. You won't be ineffective. You won't be unproductive. I wonder why the text records it that way rather than saying you will be productive and you will be effective. It says you will not be unproductive. You will not be ineffective. Allowing this information, allowing the Word of God to fill us up and influence the way we behave is part of that transformation process. What is it like if you do not have these qualities? That's verse 9. What is it like? Blindness? Yeah, I kind of struggled with this passage, so I called old Nick. Is Nick in here? Nick Cosmatis? Yeah, there he is. I called Nick this week, or I passed a word through Burright to Nick, and Nick called me, and we talked about it. And he called me back, and he helped me out. This is an interesting dilemma, and I didn't really understand what the Word was trying to tell us here. But if anyone does not have these virtues in them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. The blindness referred to here is figurative. That's very important. This is not a literal happening. This is figurative. The passage describes a person who can't look back or fails to look back to the cross and recognize what Jesus did for us. He laid His life down for us. That's the most important thing, the most important motivator for us to grow spiritually. He has become so short-sighted that he is blind, that he cannot see. So if you fail to recognize that, if you can't look back to the cross, you're being short-sighted. You're being nearsighted. It's as if you are blind. The Christian who does not grow, who does not mature, is one who has forgotten the wonder of his salvation. Don't you ever wonder about it? I mean, why did God choose that method, that way to save us? It's incredible. It's wonderful. And contemplating it, meditating on it, should overwhelm you that Jesus laid his life down for us. There could be no greater motivation for us to try and grow in Christ. When we lose sight of the cross, we can't expect to grow. Yeah. Good point. Jill said that it's more than just looking back to the cross, and she's exactly right. It's about recognizing all that God has done for us and all that he offers us right now as his children. It's a good comment. I've got to stop and get a glass or a sip of water. I'm getting a little dry. All right. Y'all ready for another question?
Let me make an observation. Right here. It strikes me when he's talking about what are the consequences of not continuing to grow, it kind of strikes me as like getting old. You forget and you can't see very well. Now, these things happen to us. Our body deteriorates whether we like it or whether we don't like it. But our spiritual being doesn't. If we use it, we don't get to where we can't see clearly. If we don't get forgetful. But if you don't use these things, then you forget the very basic essentials. These would be, you know, that you can't see and you forget the one most important thing in your whole life. And if you're not involved in spiritual things, that literally happens.
Yeah.
We get focused on wrong things and we forget what's really important in our lives.
Yeah, that's very true. Your comments are relevant. I even thought about devoting a portion of our discussion to that because as we get older, we may reach a point where physically and mentally we are incapacitated and we can no longer take advantage of his word and his spirit in the way that we have right now, while we have our health, while we have our mental capabilities. So there is a window of opportunity. Take advantage of it. That's a good point. Anything else? Yep.
There's several things sometimes when we don't focus on our qualities that we lose sight of the cross. Or once we do that, all of a sudden, all our problems. Back to start your lesson, you know, God's given us a choice, but also without him, we can't do anything. We can't accomplish anything with all these qualities that we try to build within ourselves spiritually. If we don't practice them, and if we lose sight of the cross, all of a sudden we think we can handle anything.
It's a slippery slope. And what Flo's saying is that we can lose sight very easily. I mean, there are all kinds of circumstances going on in our lives. I want to mention the Edgar family and the Worley family. It wasn't that long ago Amanda was in the hospital, right? That's a circumstance, and that was hard. But then yesterday we celebrated the union, the marriage of their children. And that's a circumstance, and it's a very joyous occasion. So these circumstances are going to shape our lives. They are opportunities to grow. grow spiritually. And it was reassuring to know of and know about the families that were going through these things, and they were exemplary, weren't they? I like that. Thank you. Let's move on. You know, last week I ran overtime, so I'm trying to be spot on this week. Who's got this? Zane, do you have this? Could you read, please?
Therefore, my brothers, be all more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if we do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
We should be motivated to add these virtues to our life. By doing so, we assure our calling and election as God's children. So it's important that we grow spiritually and that we actually practice these things and infuse them into our lives. And he makes two huge promises here. By doing these things, we will never fall. And if we're adding, we will have an eternal life in heaven. Make sure of your election by doing these things. What do you think the verse says, for if you do these things, you will never fall? What do you think that literally means? It could, depending on where you're at in your life, it might take on a different meaning. I want to make sure we walk away with the proper meaning. You will never fall. This is a spiritual context. Yeah.
I think it means you don't fall out of God's grace and coverage of your sin.
Exactly. Good comment. He said we won't fall from grace. We have assurance of that. And this is a promise. We won't fall from grace if we're busy about adding these virtues to our life, adding these graces to our life. And as such, we have the promise of eternal life, home in heaven with God. All right, I'm going to try and wrap this one up. If you possess these qualities in an increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's provided us everything we need in order for us to grow. I've said that over and over again, and I'm going to continue to do that. We participate in His divine nature by growing to be more like Christ. So as we add these virtues into our life, we become more and more like Jesus. We must put forth effort. Without effort, it's not going to be possible. Okay? You have to invest some time. In order to add these graces to our faith, we must remain in Him and use the tools that He's provided. If we don't have them, it's as if we were blind. Okay? If we don't have these graces, it's just like we cannot see. As Jill was saying, it's not just about not seeing back to the cross. We've become so short-sighted, we're not looking at all of the benefits of being a child of God. And lastly, we have these promises that we will never fall and that we have eternal life. Any comments or questions before we close? Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, this is going to sound a little negative, but sometimes these promises that God gives us, we take them for granted. We become complacent, and all of a sudden it's become too easy, or it's just going to happen.
That's a good point. If we get complacent, sometimes we'll take these promises for granted that God provides to us. The way to overcome that, again, is through the Word and through the Spirit. Next week we're going to talk, I believe we're in 1 John, we're going to talk about not being of the world and why that's important to spiritual growth. Gets back to the distractions, the circumstances in our life, and how they can cause us to be led astray, distracted, prevent us from growing in Christ. Before I leave you, I challenge you to memorize Philippians 2:12-13. This is an important verse as it relates to our spiritual growth, because it tells us about our responsibility and it tells us how God is involved in that cooperative effort of getting us to grow spiritually. I'm going to close it down right there. I do thank you for your comments, and God bless. Have a good day.